The scripture today is from Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter, verses 38 through 42. It's the familiar story of Martha and Mary. But we're going to come at it today from a little different perspective. So listen to the story, first of all, from the scriptures. Now, as they went on their way, he came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Your sister has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, two sisters, Mary and Martha. Martha loved Jesus. Jesus loved Martha. Mary loved Jesus. Jesus loved Mary. Now, even though they were sisters, they still had their differences. And we call those temperaments. Temperament is sort of like, well, it's kind of how we're shaped to function. And you might want to say that in terms of temperament, Martha was a doer. So it was only natural that she was the one with pots and pans and things to do. She basically showed love and care and service by doing things. Her temperament was that. Now, Mary's temperament was different. She showed her care and love by paying attention and listening to people. Now, let me say something. Both these temperaments are good because they each have their strengths. And as I just shared with the children, they're both valid. There's times in our life when we need to do what Polly did in Barnes & Noble's the other day. We need to get up out of our seat and go help that little child who was all by herself with not anyone helping her with a place with Barnes & Noble's full of people. Looking at their cell phones. That's the truth. And this little girl was on the verge of tears. There's a time when us to get up out of our seat and go do something. That's valid. And that's also a time when it's valid just simply to pay attention to someone and to listen to them. So what I'm trying to say right now is that Martha and Mary had temperaments that were different, and that was okay because they both had their strengths. So my question is, why did Jesus say what he said to Martha? Good question. Well, we have to read this scripture in context. Do you know where Jesus was going at this particular time? Do you know what was on Jesus' agenda? Do you know what his needs were? Jesus was about to turn and go towards Jerusalem, where his destiny would lead him to a cross, where there would be suffering, where there would be a time of significant trial within his spirit. "Father, your will, not my will." And so he came into this house thinking about probably, wouldn't it just be nice to have someone be with me and listen to me? Because this is a special time right now in my life where I do not need a 7-course meal. 7-course meals have their place and their time, but sometimes all we need is a sandwich and someone to share it with and to listen to us and not to fix anything, but just to be there. You know, here's the way more often than not we operate. we know what we most like to have in order to feel loved and cared for. There's a book called The Five Love Languages. And in this book, it talks about how one of the problems we have is that we know what we need to feel loved. And so we assume that that's exactly what the other person needs at that particular time. And that may not be true. And so that's why Jesus said what he did. Was Martha was operating out of her temperament. Nothing wrong with that. But assuming that that's what Jesus really needed to feel cared for at the time. And that was not the case. So that's why Jesus said what he said. It wasn't a time of 7-course meals for him, but just a sandwich and attention. Now, Jesus also knew that it was important for others to be at his feet to learn from him. So it was not only the good part for Jesus, but it was to be the good part for Mary. And so Martha, well, sometimes I'm Martha, and I need to be a Mary. That's all we're saying. Now, there is a line in the story here that has attracted my attention, and this is it. But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried," underline it, "and distracted," underline it, "by many things." Is there any way you can resonate with that? I'm resonating with it right now, and the simple reason is this. I often find myself worried and distracted by many things. What's going on? So often, all I need to do is to take a look at my calendar and to see how jam-packed it is and how many things are on my calendar and how busy I am and how stretched I am. And then, of course, my lovely bride asked me this question, "Well, who put all those things on your calendar?" She gets me. We're beginning a new year, and I was thinking about how in this series that we're starting today on decluttering our lives, perhaps one of the first places we need to begin in decluttering our lives is decluttering our calendars. We got a brand new year. One of my favorite things to do is go get a new calendar. And guess what? Every single new calendar is blank. But then we start filling it up. Now, there's two ways to live your life. You can write down all your plans, and then you can take them to the Lord, and you can say, "Lord, here are my plans. Please bless them." That's one way. We call that the way of the cultural Christian. It's convenient. Yeah. But the biblical Christian, that way is different. The biblical Christian prays to the Lord, "Lord, what would you have me to do with the gift of time, with the grace that you give me? With the time you give me, what would you have me to do? Let me give you the pencil. Let me seek you in prayer and hear from you, and then I will plan." That's the way of the biblical Christian. I think that's the way to begin to do it in the new year, is to clear everything off our calendars, to get rid of everything that may already be on it and say, "Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Do you know you only have as much time to do what God wants you to do and not what everybody else wants you to do?" Say that to yourself over and over again. Say it to other people. We need to be reminded of this. We live in a 24/7 world, and we're connected by many different gadgets, and we're worried and distracted by many things. And sometimes all we need to do to find out why is to look at that calendar. And how did it get that way? We put those things on it. Now, others asked us to, but do you know you have the freedom of choice? Well, the first thing I mentioned, of course, is just simply remember you have enough time to do just what God wants you to do and not what everybody else wants you to do. The second thing that I would like to say is this, and this is hard on persons like pastors and people who strive to live a righteous life, a holy life. We sometimes equate busyness with holiness. How are you doing? Oh, I'm busy. I'm doing this, and then I teach this, and then I got three meetings here, and I have this prison ministry. I do this, and I do that, and they go, wow, man, you know, that's one holy person. He's really serving the Lord. Well, suppose that's not necessarily true. Suppose that busyness doesn't necessarily equate to holiness. It doesn't necessarily equate to holiness. Because a part of holiness is the capacity to wait upon the Lord, just to spend time in His presence. Holiness is about being set apart, to be different from the world. And so sometimes, on the Sabbath, we actually stop and rest. And we don't schedule things. And we don't try to cram a lot of things down on our list. We free ourselves up. But the world's still out there going and rushing. That's the second thing. So we should not necessarily equate busyness with holiness. And the third thing is this. Develop the practice, once you pray to God and hear about the important things that you need to pay attention. One of the most significant practices is when you begin to write it down. Write down the really important things first. Now, Stephen Covey, his book came out a long time ago, and he liked to talk about put the big rocks in first. There used to be a demonstration that he would use in which, you know, he'd have a vase, you know, and he'd put in all these little rocks, and then he'd put in, and then he'd say, okay, now these big rocks, we need to put the big rocks in there, the really important things. And you couldn't get the big rocks in there. You had all the little rocks, and you had sand in there. So then he took it all out, and then he said, you need to put the big rocks in first, and then the little rocks and the sand. And it was different. So when you think about the big rocks should have to do with the roles that we play. For example, in my life, one of the most significant roles that I can play, the most significant role, is husband. Below God, but above everyone else, is Polly. And right now, I'm actually praying a prayer that goes something like this. Dear Father, I said until death do us part, I want to mean it. Help me to love you more than Polly, but Polly more than anyone or anything else. Help me to bring Polly into your presence today. Help me to listen to her, cherish her, and serve her so she would love you more and we can bring you glory. So one of the things that I need to schedule, and we do this together, we take a day retreat, a half-day retreat. We go to the Washington Duke Inn, and we spend time with our calendars, and we try to think about what are the things that we can do in this new year ahead that can help guard the time that we need to have for ourselves. And then we talk about how we want to enrich our lives together. So we think about, what are those things that when we do them help enrich our life? And what are those things that when we do them just simply draws us closer together? And then what are those things that we've never done before that we'd like to try? You know, new things. I'm into new things just as long as I've done them before. But we talk about, you know, envisioning the new year ahead. And then before we leave, we begin to put some of these things down. Now, do we need to change it all the time because life happens? But we begin to put the big rocks in first, and then we kind of manage it and make sure that we reserve that time for ourselves. So one of the most significant roles that I play is as husband. And then there's the role that I play as family member and as a pastor and as a friend. And so, you know, each week I try to look at my roles and schedule those big rocks in first. There's big things that I know that I out of all the things that could be done this month, these are the top two or three. And so I make sure that those are in there. So that's another thing that you can keep in mind when you seek to declutter your calendars. Just make sure those big rocks are in there first. Now let me tell you what's going to happen to you, because it happened to me and it happened to Polly. It'll happen to every single one of us. When it comes to living this kind of life, we will ultimately have to let something go. Do you know how hard that is, to let things go? It's very hard. One of the hardest things that I let go was the prison ministry I was involved in. I did it for 12 years. That's what I do. I do the prison ministry. That's what I do. I do the prison ministry. And no one told me I had to give it up, even though I knew that I needed to give it up. Why? Because there were other things put on my plate that I needed to do in ministry to serve this church. And you just can't keep adding things on your plate without letting some things on your plate go, even good things. Gosh, that was hard. You know, the hardest time to do something is before you do it, and then after you do it, later on you go, wow, that was, you know, like riding a bicycle. Once you learn how to do it, you go, oh, that wasn't that hard. It's only hard before you let go. Surrender. It's just like in faith. You know, our life is a life of surrender and letting go. So let me warn you that there will be some decisions to make about what you need to let go of. And some of these things perhaps will be good things. But let me tell you what happens when you do let things go. You have more margin in your life. You're able to do the things that are really important. You're able to make yourself available to those things that come along. And when they come along and they're important, you're able to respond to them. And you're able to have a life in which you live more and more out of a sense of rest and peace rather than out of a sense of drivenness and being exhausted. So the hardest thing is, as we declutter our calendars, we'll have to let some things go. But the plus side of that is we will begin to have margin in our life so that we can live out of a sense of rest. In order to do this, you'll need support. You need a small group. We all need to be in a small group somewhere where people can be cheering us on and say, yeah, just keep it up. You're making the right decisions. But once we make a decision, we have to stick with the decision, and that's why we need others to support us, even as we need to support them. You know, I think about Jesus did tremendous ministry, but he never did it out of a sense of being worried or distracted. And that's what convicts me, that yes, I need to become more of a Mary in my life. So the invitation today is just simply this. Would you like to begin this new year learning how to live out of a sense of rest and peace so you would be available to fulfill the roles that you have in your life, to be available to the really important things that God has for you? The invitation is to come forward, and Polly and I will pray over you, in particular over anything in your life you need to let go of. And think about it, and get with some other people and have that discussion. Get with some other people later on and stick together during the year to help one another out. That's the invitation. Let us stand.